Good morning, everybody. The House State Affairs Committee will please come to order. Would you please take the roll?
Representative Price Tompkins.
Here.
Representative Talarico. Representative Stoops.
Representative Talarico has excused absence.
Here.
Representative Keller.
Here.
Representative Vasquez.
Here.
Representative Grunberg.
Here.
Chair Lynn.
Here. Okay, with that, we have three bills to consider this morning, and I think we're probably going to hold all three of these bills for the next session. And we'll be considering HB 273. That has to do with TOD, or transfer on death title. And the other is HB 229, that's repeal Administrative Regulation Review Committee, and HCR 15. And let's go to the second one first, HB 229, repeal Administrative Regulation Committee. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Tom Wright. I am the Chief of Staff to Speaker Chenault, who extends his apologies for not being here this morning, but he had to return home to attend with some personal matters. Otherwise, he would be here this morning.
I think he had a radio broadcast at some point today.
He was thinking about it, Mr. Chairman, but like I said, he had some personal issues
okay.
that needed to be addressed, and it's been a long time since I've been before this committee. And
you're in for it, then.
I am looking forward to it, Mr. Chairman. How would you like me
to... tell us about the bill and why the Speaker would like to get this bill passed, the pros and the cons, and et cetera. And we do have on the committee here a past chair of that committee, so he can give some inside expertise.
And I look forward to that expertise, you know, from one of the past chairs, Representative Keller. The purpose of House Bill 229 is to repeal the statutes pertaining to the Administrative Regulation Review Committee. And we have an analysis by Legislative Research. It's in your packets. And what it said is that, you know, I asked them to look and see how many meetings have taken place, what actions were taken. But basically, ARRC, as, you know, just to use the acronym, they haven't overturned any regulations as a result.
You say they have not things. Overturned any?
Pardon me?
They've heard some of these regulations. They have or have not overturned any?
Mr. Chairman,
any.
They have reviewed regulations but have not overturned any.
Okay, and how far back does that go? Just this last session, or go back a long way?
It goes back to 2003, 2004. First chair was Senator Terrio.
So who was the first chair?
Senator Terrio.
Okay, and they've not overturn any regulations since 2003?
In the Legislative Research Report, I have, Mr. Chairman, no.
Since 2003?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Go ahead, please.
Although AS 2420-445 provides that the committee can suspend regulations for a certain time period, in a 1980s Alaska Supreme Court case, Alive v. the State, the legislature really has no implied power to veto agency regulations by informal legislative action, and such actions, according to that court case, would violate Article 2 of the state constitution. The actions available to ARRC are to either introduce legislation to supersede or nullify regulations. However, as I stated, Ledge Research was not able to find any efforts from 2003 to the present to do so. What HB 229 does, this is a 9-page bill that, you know, goes through each section and repeals the
statutes.
This is a 9-page bill that Representative Grunberg was shaking his head, so that
I
kind
was
of
signaling
okay. To the chair, please.
That's why I hesitated for a moment. But anyway, it goes through and deletes references to the Administrative Regulation Review Committee. There's various places where it shows up, and that's why, you know, there's a number of sections in this bill, and I can go over each section if you wish, Mr. Chairman. But the basic premise is one of the statutes that are being deleted has to do with Section 4462.320, which is submittal for legislative review. And what those those do is when a regulation is filed by the lieutenant governor, the governor lieutenant governor shall submit the regulation to the chair and all members of the administration regulation review committee for review under AS 242400 to 242460, along with the fiscal information. And that whole statute deals, you know, with the administration regulation review committee. We also do not, at this time, from my understanding, have an attorney at Ledge Legal who is assigned to review regulations anymore. You know, when we went through our cost-cutting efforts, that position was not filled. And also, this would result, we've in the past had about a $100,000 budget for this committee. It was halved last year, and this would result in the savings to the legislative budget of $53,000. To take the place of the Admin Reg Review Committee, we have a resolution that we'll be addressing later to basically give standing committees or any committee, you know, the power to review those regulations. So instead of the Admin Reg Review Committee, it would be left up to a standing committee to decide if they wanted to take up regulations, nullify regulations, or address regulations through legislation.
So in other words, if some bill comes before this committee and we find some regulation that's causing a problem, we would then have the ability to have a hearing on that particular regulation?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. I think you already do have that ability. But this just clarifies that, you know, the jurisdiction for regulation review is turned over to the standing committee, so that way there's a fallback. There's a forum to address, Mr. Chairman, address those regulations or any regulations that fall under a committee's jurisdiction.
So essentially, we'd call them, have a meeting here and bring that up as a topic to review a particular regulation and take action on it like we would any other bill.
And I guess, and I'm not meaning any disrespect to the, you know, people who've been on administration regulation review, but, you know, when you have a committee that deals with certain issues, there's probably a little more expertise among that committee. And, again, I don't want to by any means be disrespectful of people who have served on that committee because I think everyone had good intentions, and I know Jeanette James was kind of the originator of all this, you know, back way back.
Who was her name?
Representative Jeanette James. She was from North Pole. She actually chaired this committee for a while, and she was big into looking at regulations. But, again, I just, you know, with the purpose and the intent, it was really never fulfilled, and quite frankly, with the State Be Alive Supreme Court case, we cannot suspend regulations through informal action. And so, that's one of the reasons. And, you know, the Speaker does like to take statutes off the books that, you know, if something isn't working or if something isn't intended or if it's outdated. And, again, this is also a cost-saving measure for
the legislature. I was going to ask about that, Mr. Ryan. What's your guesstimate of how much might be saved if we pass this?
Well, Mr. Chairman, the fiscal note says there will be a savings of $53,000. Again, there was $100,000 allocated to Administration Regulation Review Committee that was cut in half last year. And I think the purpose was to have staff on board, one of the purposes anyway, to have staff on board, you know, who would devote their time primarily to overseeing regulations and bringing them up before the committee. Again, we also had a person in legal who also, I mean, since I've been with the Speaker's office, so I sent out memos to the chair of the Admin Reg Review Committee, to the presiding officers, and I know I was always forwarding those memos to make sure that at least members of the Admin Reg Review Committee had a chance to look them over. I know with Representative Keller, I've done that a few times, and Representative Keller was active. I mean, I'm not going to say he wasn't, but again, you know,
he's active here. I know that.
But again,
where too?
You know, we just feel that the intent and the purpose is something that can be handled by standing committees or even special committees for that matter.
Okay, thank you very much for your presentation. Any questions from the committee or comments? Let's go to Representative Keller first.
Just clarification. Well, you know, I'm not into discussion or counterpointing at all at this point, but so the power to review, use that terminology that the ARC has, is going to go to the standing committees, the power to review. My question for you is, the sponsor open to looking at the exploration of making it a little bit more than that? Because the power to, let me finish, so you get the context. The power to review is that I can go in and look, you know, and make an evaluation. Is there, you know, if there's a way that we can expand that, or does the, is the speaker open to that?
Mr. Chairman, the speaker is open to anything that, you know, that the committees would like to have done. I mean, quite frankly, the speaker truly believes in the power of the committee and the power of the committee chairs, and that this is something that the committee would like to do. The only concern that, you know, I would like to express is we want to make sure there's not a huge fiscal note attached with, you know, with any amendments that, may be presented, Mr. Chairman.
You're talking about amendments to the bill before us today?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Okay. And just a follow-up, please.
And again, this isn't part of the discussion, but I just would like to say that in the process of looking at what the role is of the legislature, yes, in this year, of course, we have to look at the finances, but that shouldn't be the bar for looking at it and seeing if there's money that needs to be spent to raise the preserve, I should say, the role of the legislature constitutionally, then, you know, we need to look at that so we don't diminish it.
And I know, Mr. Chairman, Representative Keller, the speaker does not want to lessen the role of the legislature in any of the processes that are available to us.
Okay, thank you very much. Representative Grunberg?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members will recall, and you will too, the amendment we had on the floor yesterday on the military bill.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, sometimes fate works in strange ways, and things come up that you wouldn't think are going to be relevant the next day in the hearing on a different committee. And you'll remember what we said was that, as I recall, that when further regulations dealing with the Code of Military Justice are promulgated by the National Guard, those regs shall be sent to the legislature for review. I think that was the gist of it, as I recall.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. When I first saw the amendment, I have to be honest, Mr. Chairman, I had a few concerns, especially, you know, dealing with the bill before us right now. But it did say by law, you know, mm-hmm. that the legislature could nullify regulations by law, which mm-hmm. means through statutory action. And after, you know, I had a chance to look at it a little bit, I just did not want to see us pass something that was going to transcend into something that the legislature couldn't achieve.
Oh, right. It was a Yogi Berra amendment. Deja vu all over again, I think, today.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Do you want to continue?
May I, please?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, anyway, that was not exactly where my question was going. assuming this bill passes and that amendment remains in the other bill, how is this going to work? I assume what will happen is there will be a message from what the Commissioner of DMV, Military and Veterans Affairs, or be from the Governor, and then the regulation will be referred to a committee?
Mr. Chairman, I really don't know because I'm not familiar with that particular bill and what has gone into that bill. So,
an example.
It makes it difficult for me to, you know, to say one way or the other because, again, I'm not that familiar with all the nuances of that.
I don't mean, through the chair, I don't mean to get in the weeds on that particular bill. I'm just wondering how it's going to occur. I would assume that normally it would be a message from the commissioner or the governor, and that matter would be referred to the appropriate committee. Is that the general way?
Mr. Chairman, I mean, I think Representative Keller has been working on an amendment that would help address that. Mm. You know, the lieutenant governor is the final say on all regulations, and you know, there's probably something that could be worked out with the Lieutenant Governor's office to make sure that these regulations come to us, and then we can forward it on, or the Speaker's office, whoever the Speaker is going to be in the future, can forward those regulations, you know, to the proper committee to at least take a look if there's so desire. I don't see this, I don't see any of our committees becoming a total regulation review committee because of the time that has to be spent, you know, on legislation and other issues, the budget and whatever else is before us right now. But at least it gives them the opportunity to review those regulations as, and if something seems onerous or something is outdated or whatever, the legislature or the standing committee has the ability to take those actions. And that's addressed in the uniform rule change resolution that's also before you today.
Meg, I want to, I'm going to
one more, then I want to go to other people.
I'm trying to get somewhere with this.
Yeah, but we got to get to it before we adjourn at 10.
Yeah. If we can, let me go where I'm going here. There are lots and lots of regulations that come out, and most of our committees don't do much interim work. And some regulations we'll be watching for, like the one yesterday, and some we don't care about too much. I'm just wondering, I would hope that there's going to be some mechanism for referring these in the interim, and that there'll be, this is going to put a lot of, some additional work on the shoulders of all the other committee staffs to keep up with this stuff during the interim.
Mr. Chairman, not only the committee staff, but also the committee chairs and members of the committee, I think informally we could work something out where the speakers say if you do get regulations during the interim, you know, sent to our office, we can turn them over. It's not like we have to refer regulations.
That was my question.
I think we could hand them informally, and if the chair so desires to take up those regulations or address them, it is good interim work. I mean, I'm not going to say it's not. There's a lot of things that get passed while we're not in session as far as regulations, and if the chair so desires, the chair can call a meeting, any chair of any committee can call a meeting at any time as long as it's properly noticed.
Thank you, and I guess for the record, the bill I was referring to yesterday was House Bill 126, the Alaska Military Code. Thank you.
Very good. Any resident caller is going to make a comment or a statement. Anybody else in the committee?
Oh, I'll defer.
Representative Vasquez?
Well, I have a few comments.
Do it.
I think the role of the legislature in reviewing regulations is absolutely critical. I do support the goal of this bill, but I'm not convinced that there is an appropriate alternative mechanism for us to review regulations. In one of my previous lives, I have specialized in administrative law, which is the realm of administrative rulemaking. And over the years, my observation on the federal and state level is that sometimes in very subtle ways, regulations will usurp, sometimes outright usurp, the intent of the legislature. And I'm very knowledgeable in researching legislative intent, et cetera. So I think the role is very important. I agree that the way it's been handled hasn't exactly been the best, most effective way, but we need to figure out a mechanism that will work for us. And I do agree wholeheartedly that the standing or special committees have very specific knowledge that would empower them to, in a more knowledgeable way, review the proposed regulation. So I support that concept. I'm just not convinced that we have the appropriate mechanism. And to me, it's very important because we can sit and really try hard and pass the best legislation, but if an administrative agency turns around and usurps that intent, usurps what we're doing, our work is for naught. I mean, it's useless.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, Representative Vasquez, I think you kind of made my argument for me. You have a lot of regulations that are enacted because of legislation that comes, say, through various committees, and there is some familiarity with those issues. And quite frankly, you know, you've dealt with a number of the issues, you probably know the subjects very well, and would be able to make a better determination on whether those regulations do or do not fit the scope of the legislation that was passed.
Okay. Continue.
Mr. Wright, the discussion, though, has been around getting the lieutenant governor to somehow, in an informal manner, send the regulations. I am not comfortable with that because it depends on personalities, frankly. I think we need to have a more systematic statutory mechanism that ensures that the committees, you know, there's no guarantee that committee members will be interested in every regulation that is issued, but I can assure you that a lot of us are looking in our special areas. We are looking for those regulations that may usurp our work or may misinterpret or just, anyway, you get my drift. And I'm not sure that I'm comfortable with relying just on an informal process with the lieutenant governor.
And, Mr. Chairman, I think Representative Keller has some ideas along those lines, and I don't disagree with his ideas. There's a way to scope this and a way to put it into the bill so there is more formal activity or formal action taken by the lieutenant governor in transmitting or sending regulations, at least to the presiding officers, who then can put a process in place, I guess is what I'm trying to say, Mr. Chairman.
That's to explore that. That's why we're going to hold the bill today.
And, Mr. Chairman, there's no objection to that whatsoever.
Any other, before I go to Representative Keller, anybody else want to make any comment? Okay, Representative Keller.
Yeah, first off, I want to say that I really appreciate this bill coming forward because what it does is highlights one of my most frustrating, what I feel is my responsibility as a legislator, and that is unfulfilled, and even having served as Reg Review Chair. And in brief, if you take a stack of the regulations, and then you make a stack of the state law, the comparison is huge. I mean, there's a whole lot, and not only that, but many of your attorneys right here across the street and whatever are administrative review lawyers. They're experts in the code, not in the statute. Mm-hmm. And what's happened is it's a basic fundamental balance of power issue that I don't think we can solve with this bill, but I want to make sure we don't give up anymore because the legislature tends to be ineffective. We're weak, I should say, by comparison with the other two branches, and we don't want to diminish it. But I'm quick to add that the Reg Review Committee is a very frustrating experience. I mean, I had a very qualified paralegal, Jim Pound, that handled all that one session. Then I had a full-blown attorney, John Davies. He served as my staff on that another time. And frankly, you're right. We never overruled one regulation, and we found out, just like you have put on the record, that the Supreme Court says we can't unless we go back in and make a new law. Mm-hmm. That's what the official action is. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the amendment that was referred to, I was frustrated with it because it was superfluous. It was just a posturing thing because that's exactly the way things are. Is the only way we can do anything with a regulation is to go back to the legislation. You made the comment, Representative Vasquez, that there's no guarantee of interest. I would go a whole lot further than that. There's almost a guarantee that we'll pay as little attention to the regulations then as we do now. But now we're trying, you know, but we aren't effective, you know. So I just am asking the committee to let's look at this close, and if we can do something to enhance the legislative role in regulation review, a very significant and important thing, let's try to get it done. I personally believe that the only way we're going to really get something done is if we hired three or four lawyers, attorneys, to do nothing but regulation review. Because what happens, it's innocent and noble intent, but it's put us in the spot. We give we ask the departments to come up with a mission of what they want to get done. And we give them things to do with the statutes that we pass. In good faith, noble intent, they go out there and they figure out a path to get done what they think ought to be done. Then they go back and make sure that there's no law that prohibits them from getting the plan done, you know. And I personally tried, I'm not an attorney, I personally tried to trace the logic between the justifying statutes that we require them to put with every regulation, with the regulation. It goes, I just can't believe it, because I just can't get the connect in common English. You know, when I read the statute that they use to justify a regulation and read the regulation in the context of all the issues that are in front of us on a particular issue, I mean, it doesn't seem like there's any connect. So the only thing I'm asking, and I appreciate the fact that the speaker and the sponsor and the chair have agreed to stand back for a little bit, and, you know, I'll try to propose some amendments that at least makes it so we don't give up anything in this process and get rid of the process that isn't working. That's why I appreciate you bringing this up. It is not a negative.
And, Mr. Chairman, we're more than willing to work with Representative Keller or any members of the committee who might have ideas on, you know, how we keep the regulation review in front of us, but yet, you know, in a different manner, because we are frustrated too. I know I, over the years in my role that I currently have, getting these memos and just going, are you kidding me? I couldn't even imagine, you know, I mean, if this were a federal committee, how you would ever deal, you know, the federal regulations, because so oftentimes, at least in my mind, the regulations don't even fit what was passed by Congress. You know, it seems like the feds in particular, and, you know, I've seen instances in the state too, don't get me wrong, but the feds in particular go 180 degrees from what was originally intended, and, you know, really don't care one way or the other, you know, what Congress passed. They just do what they feel like doing sometimes, at least in my mind.
Follow-up.
Just real briefly, Mr. Chair, there's a couple things. I'm really glad for what you just said, because I want to give you an example of one of the issues that we spent a lot of time on. And what we discovered in the process, I'll jump right to the punchline, but we discovered in the process that our state regs were nothing more than compliance with U.S. code, U.S. regulations, and there was no link. There was no link to Alaska state law. And what the issue was whether or not a person in Alaska could have a dairy cow and make cheese and sell it to their neighbor. And frankly, when we got done with that, we didn't change a thing, couldn't change a thing, because we were under the thumb of the federal government in our regs, according to our regs, because it was a compliance thing all the way through. It's really frustrating because, you know, again, it's a whole issue of balance of power. One of the issues that just came across our desk yesterday was the assisted living homes, private homes in the state of Alaska that take in people that need assisted living, right? Health Social Services has evidently opted to say you can't have any firearms in those private homes. Well, to me, that goes beyond U.S. code. We're talking here the core thing of our Constitution, our constitutional rights. Okay, so here's this regulation, and as a legislator, okay, how am I going to fix this, you know? So I can try to intimidate the person in Health Social Services, I guess, or whatever, but we need some kind of a mechanism, you know, to be able to evaluate these things, and that's what I'm making an appeal for in the context. Take an opportunity with the speaker's bill, so thank you.
How long do you think you might be developing some appropriate amendments?
Mr. Chair, I have one right now that I could pass out to open the discussion. If you like, I can distribute it now or to Nancy, and she can get it to all of us. Yeah, but that's a starting point, and I'm asking, you know, you, Mr. Chair, and the committee members to use your perspective to improve and maybe make other suggestions, keeping in mind the speaker's request that we don't have a fiscal note for obvious reasons.
Mr. Chairman, yes. Too, I mean, you got everyone in here at one time or another, with the exception of maybe Representative Christ Tompkins, who have been a chair of a committee or are chairing committees right now. And, you know, I would like to have each member look at Representative Keller's proposed amendment and, you know, just think about how they would apply that, you know, in their role as a committee chair. And, you know, again, we don't want to make it So we're going to have a huge expense at looking at regulations. But again, in each member's viewpoints, and Representative Christ Hopkins, I'm not trying to be, again, I'm not being disrespectful, but you're new to the process, but you've still taken part in a lot of committees, so this isn't something new to you. But in roles as committee chairs, sometimes things get a little bit different. Well, you get a lot different, I mean, to be honest with you, but I would like to get your perspectives, as committee chairs, as to, how Representative Keller's amendment would fit, because I do think it's a good idea. We do need to have some sort of formal action as to how the, regulations would be passed down. And I think he's got a good start, and I would like to have each of you just think about it and then look it over and review it before we address it any further.
Thank you very much. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you. I hadn't given this any thought this morning, but I have in the past, and I'd like to attack the problem from a different point of view, and that's from the legal point of view. This problem, and Mr. Wright has mentioned it, emanates from a controversy that the legislature had in the 1980s. Mm-hmm. There was a senator here by the name of Paul Fisher, who represented the Kenai. And one of his interests was exactly this, and this Teamster Alive case is at the core of the whole thing. The Constitution will not allow the legislature to amend or repeal a regulation or do anything to it unless it's by law, which means that the governor has a right to veto it. And this has become a problem sometimes in the past. I'm sorry, not that the governor was going to veto, but it's made it somewhat cumbersome. The problem culminated in the Supreme Court Alive case. And what happened as a result of that was twice the legislature passed constitutional amendments that went before the voters to change the Constitution to allow the legislature to take action on a resolution by or on a regulation by resolution. And twice the voters turned it down in the 1980s. And that's where we are today. And I think, with due respect to both you guys, that one thing we should do in this committee is look at, in some detail, what the case holds, what that history holds, and what we legally and constitutionally can do. And I have an idea that we can do something that we're not doing. We cannot overturn or amend a regulation once it's promulgated. The question is not that, but can we do anything in passing a law that says before a regulation becomes effective, it shall be submitted to the legislature? And three of us, old fogies, are on both of those committees. And this thing doesn't go to the other committee, but I think maybe we should be looking at this from a constitutional point of view, because I wouldn't bet any money that we cannot put some language in appropriate legislation that would say that the agency can promulgate regulations, but that the legislature shall be permitted to submit proposed legislation to the legislature. And we could even say it would become effective in so many days if the legislature didn't act. But to allow us basically to stop it before it becomes effective. And I think if we put on our thinking cap legally, and you guys, we're all on the Judiciary Committee, and this is really a constitutional issue, because what you're talking about doing is one thing, a good suggestion, but there may be other things we can do that don't involve changing the Constitution, but doing creative things so that we can get a handle on this.
Do I understand this correctly, that before the administration proposes a regulation, that the legislature would have to basically permit that?
Permit it or be able to stop it or at least review it? I want to find out what we can do.
I think that's very interesting. Of course, it could go on forever.
No, I don't want to do that.
Well, then you come back to fix it. Then we got to look at that also.
I want it to be so that we're not holding the show up.
Our goal isn't to turn each committee into a regulation review committee. I mean, where you're spending all your time on regulations.
Right.
That's the fear, the initial fear that I have with what has been discussed thus far. Because, again, you know, with the power of the chairs, you're going to make the determination, you know, unless there's a will among committee members and persuades the committee chair to overturn or suspend or look at legislation regarding regulations that are before you. That's a determination you as a chair is going to have to make whether or not to bring it before the committee.
Okay. At this point, we have an amendment here, which we will ask to be introduced and moved, and then we will not take a vote on the amendment until the next
May I just say one minor thing, please?
One thing.
All I'm suggesting is that this may be a mechanism that legally we could use and might do it occasionally. I'm not suggesting that we go whole hog, but I'm trying to figure some things that maybe the legislature can consider.
I think it's an interesting concept, but it's a little outside this particular thing that we're considering here. Before you go, is anybody other than Mr. Wright here to testify? I guess not.
Well, he draws a crowd, Mr. Chair.
He draws. All right. Okay. Representative Keller, do you have an amendment?
Yes, but could I, just a couple of real points of clarification. One is, actually, the crowds will come. I believe there's a lot of interest on this issue. I don't think it is at all of no concern. In the Review Committee, we discovered a lot of people that were frustrated. Another clarification is Lieutenant Governor has no authority in the in context of regulations. All he does is file. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure everybody understands that. And thirdly, I want to just challenge, because it was, I think I misunderstood Representative Gruenberg. But we do have the right to annul any regulation by way of legislation, unless, of course, you get into the process there that you're violating a constitutional right, you know, because of something that's been promised or whatever. In other words, there's nuances there, but the regulation continues to be based on statute, and we can annul by the legislative process, and I think that's you agree in.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So with that, Mr. Chairman,
if I may, just really quickly, we also have to be concerned about separation of power issues, and we have to make sure that we're not, Speaker's not afraid to take on an issue if it's if he thinks it's the right thing and if it's constitutional or not. I mean, we try to tread very lightly when it comes to constitutional issues, but there's some issues that come before us that, you know, he's not afraid to take on, even though, you know, we get memos saying they're not constitutional. But, again, we just want to be concerned about the separation of powers issue when it comes to regulations versus the legislature.
And I wish the other two branches of government would be just as concerned about separation of
Mr.
powers.
Mr. Chairman, I do, too.
Mr. Chair, I think they are.
In the context, Mr. Chair, of the fact that this is an opener for input, and I will work with Representative Gruenberg and any other committee members that has feedback, I move amendment number one.
Okay. I will object.
Okay. For purposes of discussion. With that, we're going to hold discussion on that amendment until the next meeting and other stuff. Any final comments on this particular thing before we close it out for today? Okay. If not, we're going to hold this until another committee hearing, and I can assure you we'll do this as come back to it as rapidly as possible. And so with that, we we'll go on to the next bill. Thank you very much for your presentation.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure if you want to have a brief discussion on the concurrent resolution that goes along with this bill, or if you...
Oh, yes, thank you.
That,
thank you very much. Yeah. Would you... we're going to go to HCR 15. My
Toledo here reminded me of this, and I just as rapidly forgot it. So we go to HCR 15.
Yeah.
Are we on a CS on this or not?
No.
Nope.
Okay. So we're going to have HCR 15 and identify yourself again for this one and give us a brief discussion of it.
Mr. Chairman, again, for the record, my name is Tom Wright. I'm the Chief of Staff for Speaker Chenault. In House Concurrent Resolution, I mean, we have had a lot of discussion already based on House Bill 229, but it's being offered in conjunction with House Bill 229. Change in Uniform Rule 20, which is offered in HCR 15, would allow standing committees of jurisdiction to include oversight over regulations proposed or adopted to implement agency or departmental programs and activities. And this change in the uniform rules would replace the function that has been provided by the Admin Reg Review Committee.
And so if we were to pass out HB 229, we would need to do HCR 15 in conjunction to make both work. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that would make it work. But again, that's the prerogative of the committee. But yes, I mean, it would be very helpful to have, if one passes, to have the concurrent resolution pass along with it.
Okay. Any questions on this? Representative Gerdberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just as a matter of procedure, since this resolution will amend the uniform rules, it will take a two-thirds vote of each House, through the Chair.
Mr. Chairman, that is absolutely correct.
And the second question?
Yes.
You know, it's not often that we have an opportunity to look at Rule 20, which is a fundamentally important uniform rule, and it prescribes the jurisdiction of each standing committee. And I simply point that out, that that is touched upon in the legislation before us. I'm not saying there need to be any changes, but I'm saying we seldom, very seldom, have an opportunity to look at this. And if I may have just a moment to ask another question, please.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In your role, do you see any changes that should be made in Rule 20 on the jurisdiction of any committee?
Mr. Chairman, I really don't. I use Uniform Rule 20 whenever I'm looking at each and every piece of legislation that the clerk brings to the Speaker's office, when I make my recommendations to the Speaker as far as what committee would have jurisdiction over certain bills.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I spend a lot of the time looking at statute, trying to get at least a fundamental understanding of the bill. And believe me, I'm not an expert on every bill that comes through, but I do look at every piece of legislation that comes through. And some are very simple. Some are a lot more complicated than what they look as far as trying to determine the committee of jurisdiction. And we have a hard, fast rule, and it's been in effect ever since I've worked for Speaker Porter, that we send bills to the committee using Uniform Rule 20, because too often in the past we've had committee chairs request bills, and again, no disrespect to the committee chairs, they've had reasons for wanting those bills, but if they didn't fit the jurisdiction, we normally turn those requests down, because when you get into a second session, and I don't really have to explain in great detail, but when you get into a second session especially, there's advantages to having a bill within your committee, especially if you're trying to work a piece of legislation through the other body. So, Speaker Porter, as far as I know, initiated that rule. His thing was he wanted to pass a red face test whenever he made a referral to committee, and so Uniform Rule 20 has really become our Bible.
Very good.
And Mr. Chair, I just wanted to mention that, because that can be outcome determinative of the bill and various others. And I'm glad you let me put that on the record.
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other comment on the resolution? Okay, if not, we're going to hold that until the next appropriate hearing. I want to thank you very much for presenting this morning. I think you made some excellent points, and looking forward to the next.
Mr. Chairman, as I said, it's been a long time since I've been before this committee, and it is a pleasure to be before you today. Thank you very much.
And thank you. And so we'll hold that bill. We're going next to HB 273, which is the TOD transfer on death bill. And
Okay, and so we had that before us.
Let me get over to the table here.
At ease. Back on the record, we're going to go now to HB 273, and would the presenters identify themselves, please, in whatever order you want to do it.
Janine Fox, legislative aide to Representative Lynn. And Representative Broomberg is here. House Bill 273 is a State Affairs Committee bill. However, it was worked on by Representative Gruenberg at the most, so I'm going to let him and defer to him to speak on this.
Okay, Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'd like to thank the members of the committee. Before getting into the details of the committee, I'd like to thank you, Mr. Chair, and the members for allowing us to move the bill in this manner. It has been...
We haven't moved it yet.
I mean, move it forward.
Okay.
It was at least my hope that we could start doing legislation in a bipartisan manner and get legislation that's fairly non-controversial, moved, and not necessarily the kind of high-profile stuff that we're known for in the legislature, but stuff that can be very helpful to average Alaskans.
I don't know that there's any legislation that's non-controversial.
Only Military Family Day.
That's true. Touché.
But we thought, I think, between your office and mine, that this might be a good idea, and I'm glad that everybody else agreed to do this. We tried and are trying to make this really not just a product of one member or the chair, but of the whole committee, and we'd like to get people involved in that. It's in sort of an invitation. This is a bill that will establish a concept. It will carry forward a concept that I think everybody on the committee is familiar with, and that's the concept of transfer on death. It's a way that people can plan their estates without going through the problems, length, and expense of probate. And this is the fourth step in this process. A number of years ago, in Title 13, provisions were added that would allow a person to have a TOD bank account and designate a beneficiary, and one or more beneficiaries, depending on the institution, are simply designated by filling out a small card when you open a bank account, or even thereafter, and you can change it or do anything you want with it. But it has proven, I think, very beneficial. I know we've got a number of those accounts. I'm sure everybody does here. And at the same time, the legislature, also in Title 13, provided for brokerage accounts, you know, Merrill Lynch or whatever it is, accounts that do the same thing. And these are also permitted under federal law. And it has proven, I think, to be a very good step in the area of estate planning and not controversial. You don't have to do it, but you can do it if you wish. Several years ago, we carried this one step further in enacting TOD deed legislation that does the same thing with real estate. And if you want a TOD deed, there's a form and you just fill it out, and it becomes effective on your death, and you record it, and when you die, the person who's the beneficiary simply presents a copy of the death certificate or whatever proof of death, and that's recorded, and then the deed becomes effective. And it has been quite successful. Although I was informed, we were informed yesterday by Beth Chapman, who's a very fine local probate attorney and very involved in this legislation, that there has been at least one case involving apparently somebody who tried to do something with that legislation in a given case. And she's not able to be with us today, but we're working on an amendment that we hope to present next week, and she'll be here at that time. And I intend to ask her a little bit what happened in that case. I am informed that the issue, some issue was raised, and I don't know that the issue was even briefed. I know that the firm was available to brief it, and she informed us last night that they settled that, but she can tell a little bit, and that's the only litigation I'm aware of, at least in this state, and it was in the Superior Court. It didn't go anywhere. From what I know, the TOD concept has been very successful, and now we're trying with this bill to expand that concept to vehicles. 15 states have, at last count, excluding Alaska, we don't have it yet, such legislation, very similar. Contrary to the TOD deed legislation, there's a uniform act there, which is what we adopted. There's no uniform act yet for this. Hopefully there will be, or a model act or suggested state legislation or something. But what we did was we got Ledge Research, and they gave us copies of all the state laws. And in addition, I asked for copies of the state laws for the four states that have expanded this to watercraft. And we also register snow machines in this state. And we were looking at outboard motors as well. The Division of Motor Vehicles has been very helpful and has provided a lot of technical assistance in the drafting of the bill, because we gave them these laws and to see how they could put together a bill for us. They did not feel it was appropriate to go with the watercraft, and we can't do aircraft because that's federal, or these others, because they don't title them in the same way. It's not done internally that way. So we have tried to take the easiest route, and we did not go beyond that. And I understand, am I right, that there are folks from DMV on the line?
No.
Yes, there is. Nicole.
Oh, okay, yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. Guys, it's got to be on the record here.
Oh, there it is.
Okay.
Continue.
But they will hopefully, with the chair's permission, testify about how they drafted this thing up. And so this is made easy, and what they will do is have, when you register your car, a space right there on the application for you to designate a beneficiary. And we've done it so that any person can utilize this. I mean, a human being, because corporations don't die. So if something's in the name of the ABC Corporation, you can't use this bill. However, it can be the donee, the transferee. You could give it, for example, to a charity on your death. And this, and I, you know, and I had meant to have this promulgated to some charities, and I just forgot. As we do this, hopefully, we'll get some input from them. But it will help a lot of charities, I'm hopeful. And you can have up to two transferees. We didn't want to have 37 people out here. And if it's got to be not a tenancy in common where each one would pass their interest. It's got to be a joint tenancy. So it'll be the survivor who would take it if you give it to two people. Although then they can make it into joint tenancy or tenancy in common, whatever they want. But this is to be very simple, and you can change it by simply re-registering the car, you know, just filling out a new form and designating somebody else. Or if you sell it to somebody during your lifetime, then this TOD registration goes away. Or the person can decline to accept the property, which they may do for tax purposes or whatever. And if there is a lien on the car, like let's say you're having it financed by General Motors or Alley or whoever is doing it, that lien will remain. It travels with the car. And so just because you die doesn't mean that they don't have a lien on the car, whoever gets it. And we are now in the process of finalizing one remaining issue that we all spent some time negotiating yesterday. And, Mr. Chair, that is the language that is on page 3, line 17. And this deals with the claims of unsecured creditors. The way we originally had it was that, at least this was before the bill was introduced, when we had a draft circulating, that the claims of unsecured creditors could not survive. The bill, the person would take the car without those claims. The chair and his staff correctly pointed out that this was not fair to creditors. It would be Visa, or it could be your utility bill or whatever. And about half of the states, the 15 states, had language like this on line 13 that simply said that the claims survive. In other words, you could make a claim afterwards. The members of the probate section called to our attention that this would unduly complicate matters and could hold the car's title really open for like 3 or 4 years, the amount of time you can normally submit a claim. And I think that's the length of time. I'm not a probate lawyer, but Beth will say that. And so what she suggested was that we put an amendment here on line 13 to strike, line 17, to ensure that the language in this bill will be identical to the language in the TOD deed bill, which gives them a year to make a claim. And that is a compromise. And the bill drafter is working on that amendment. It is not ready yet, and we're not prepared to move the bill today. But basically, that is the legislation in a nutshell. And I would appreciate it, Mr. Chair, if we could hear from Ms. Tam and the other people, some of whom are on the line, some of whom
we
are
have
here.
Representative Greenberg, we have at this point Avis Thompson, the Trucking Association, and we have Ms. Tam.
Mr. Chair, I would ask leave of you. I think Mr. Thompson is recovering, and if he, maybe it would be easier to take him first so he can...
Mr. Chair, before we go to the testifiers, I would like to get some questions if I could.
Yes, I will. Are you through the presentation right now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Vice Chair Keller.
Yeah, there's a couple things, but one is in light of the fact that legislation is an expensive, time-consuming process, and this is a five-page bill to do what you said is a simple thing. You know, I'm a little hesitant, frankly. And I would like, if you would, describe the difference between using the TOD and using what's currently available, which is anytime all my vehicles I put on a second owner, it is not a, it's a totally painless process. I have my grandson is on one of my vehicles, and my wife is on another, and they're just put on there so that if I were to die, it would pass on to him. I know you described the whole issue of the charities and you could have several and all that. I understand that, but I don't see that as what you portrayed as, you know, this is about average Alaskans. You know, I don't see, I mean, I can see this happening once or twice or, you know, whatever, but I just don't see the extent of it. So maybe you could help me understand, just what the scope is here.
Yep, may I, Mr. Chair? Right now, there's a very unusual statute that deals only with motor vehicles. It's in Title 28. I don't recall the number of the statute. Ms. Tam can tell you. that says that you can title a vehicle and or, and it's a type of joint tenancy. Joint tenancy means you have a present co-ownership in the vehicle. And there are normally two types, tenancy in common and joint tenancy. Tenancy in common is current joint ownership. Either party can act on behalf of the other.
Okay.
And when the person dies, their interest goes as they wish. Joint tenancy with the right of survivorship is a type of current ownership. When one person dies, they don't have the right to leave their interest to anybody else. It goes to the survivor or survivors. And let's say they're not just two survivors, but there are three people on it. Person A dies, then the vehicle or the whatever it is, the piece of property, becomes co-owned by the remaining two. And when the second person dies, the survivor gets the property in their own name. And they can't do anything other than that unless they all agree to make it tenancy in common. And I'm trying to think. I think if you have something that's owned tenants in common, they both have to sign off on it if it's transferred. I may be wrong in that. I'm going to change what I say. I think they both have to sign off on it. But the point is, they're both current owners, and they have a right to current ownership. TOD deeds or titles are quite different. And you, the current owner, remains the full owner during your lifetime. And it's just an automatic pass-through when you die. It's like having a mini-will. And I can see your grandson is older than mine because Beckon is 11. And I sure wouldn't want to leave him my car yet, although he'd love to have it.
Response?
There's
no restriction on that. I mean, the criteria for driving a car is different than the criteria for being on the title. But the second half of my question was, help me understand the scope of the need for the this. You know, I mean, I'm groping in my mind, you know, trying to imagine how many Alaskans we're talking about that are asking for this bill or whatever, and, you know, and just help me understand that.
Of course, it's impossible to know how many will do it, but I am informed that the concept of the TOD deed and the concept of the TOD bank account and the TOD brokerage account are very popular. I don't have figures. And, of course, the account legislation has been in effect a lot longer than the deeds. When we were pushing that through, I was the prime sponsor of that, a lot of people said they want it. And a lot of people have said they want this too. People like senior citizens and just people who are estate planners. I have not seen opposition, but it's going to take a little bit of time before people become aware of this, you know? And I think you have a motorcycle. I had a motorcycle. And that's the kind of a thing that a teenager would like. Mm-hmm. I would like it. My wife won't let me have it anymore. But I think it's going to be popular, and I can't quantify it, but
And the reason I ask the question is that if you think it's going to be popular, it's a little different than whether it is popular only because of the load that we have in front of us in legislative session.
I would hope that we wouldn't have to spend a lot of time. It's just going to this committee than the floor.
Yeah.
Okay. Any more for now?
I'm mercifully brief.
Okay. Let's call on...
I know.
Eves Thompson.
Yeah.
Mr. Thompson, are you on the line or someplace?
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Ace Thompson, the Executive Director of the Alaska Trucking Association. The Alaska Trucking Association is a statewide organization representing the interests of our nearly 200 member companies from Barrow to Ketchikan. I'm here today to testify in support of House Bill 273. The ATA believes that this legislation will make the transfer of a vehicle upon death much easier. The process makes the intentions clear and allows the transfer of a vehicle without probate. While many of our members are corporations or variations thereof, there are a significant number of natural persons that can benefit from this law. We urge the committee to support this legislation, and I'll be happy to try to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions from the committee? If not, I'd like to thank you. That's very good to know. Wait, we do have a question. Representative Vasquez.
Not from the individual that's testifying. I just have a general question about the bill.
Why don't you ask the question, and maybe the person testifying or one of us here can respond to it.
The 120 days you have to survive. The owner, by 120 days, I'm going, that's interesting. Why 120 days?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Grunberg.
I'm Max Grunberg. That is the period that's in the probate code.
Oh, that's what I thought.
And it applies to all of these things, including the TOD deed. And we spent some time on that because we felt it was appropriate to have the same period of time here. In a previous, my previous service, I authored a bill called the Uniform Simultaneous Death Act that achieved a unique distinction. It was the only bill we'd ever had that was on the books repealed inadvertently, and we had to put it back on the books. And this was superseded when the probate code was revised. And there's specific statute on that, several statutes, actually.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Thompson, anything else you'd like to say? I guess you're all left.
Oh, it's 120 hours.
Oh, 100.
Not 120 days. That was Nikolai Bailey.
Okay, fine. Ms. Thompson, you sir, hear me. I'd like to thank
you. I was puzzled. Yes, you're right. 120 hours.
Okay. Do we have Nicole Thon online, I believe, from the DMV?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for testifying. Please identify yourself and give your testimony.
For the record, my name is Nicole Pham, Driver Services Manager with the Division of Motor Vehicles. Thank you for allowing me to speak this morning. DMV has no opposition to the bill. As Representative Grunberg stated, his office reached out to DMV for a comment to see how we might implement some of the TOD provisions similar to other states in the Alaska DMV processes to help facilitate movement on this bill.
Okay. Thank you very much. Representative Keller, you have a comment or question?
Yeah, thank you, Nicole. Appreciate your testimony. There's a comment on the fiscal note that says it's not a simple task and that the DMV is going to absorb the cost, and therefore it's a zero fiscal note. Can you give us some kind of idea of what the DMV is absorbing? You know, it's a five-page bill to be implemented, and it has policy calls that are going to be there for like the order and you know, and the billing the form you know, so that the option is available. And I appreciate the willingness of DMV to be accommodating, but I'd like to know you know, just have a little bit better idea of what is being absorbed.
We're good. Any comment or in response?
Through the chair, Representative Keller. It's about 3 weeks of programming costs that DMV will incur, and we're looking to absorb that in the title fee that would be collected for the issuance of TOD title.
What do you expect that?
But one of the things that we will have to do is it will require DMV to update the title form, the registration form, and also all of our application forms to accommodate this.
Do you have any guesstimate of what that might be?
The cost, not at this time.
Okay, but you expect it to be fairly minimal, is that correct?
It's a cost that DMV should be able to absorb.
Okay. Representative Grunberg?
Ms. Tam, and members of the committee, if you would kindly look on page 4, lines 20 through 22, authority is given to the DMV to set any additional fee that would be charged to cover this. And it is at least my intent that there be some small additional fee to absorb the cost if you utilize this. And it should be far less than the cost of doing your will and probating the car. So it's a good deal for everybody, I would think. Am I not right, Ms. Tam?
Through the chair, Representative Grunberg, that's correct.
Okay, thank you very much. Any further questions for the DMV? Thank you for testifying. We appreciate it. Okay. Any other comments from the presenters at this time?
Two things, Mr. Chair. I believe that there is a letter in the file from the auto the auto dealers, and I don't know if that's been distributed, but I would reference that letter that does support the bill. And I don't recall, do we have other letters and stuff as well? No. But we do have somebody here in the audience who is a constituent of mine and a friend who represents the Manufactured Home Association, Mr. Robert Mayer, and he is here to testify, and I'd appreciate it if you could.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayer. Would you care to testify and make any comments? Please come forward. Thank you. Please identify yourself and give us your comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Bob Mayer, B-O-B-M-A-I-E-R. I am the director of the Alaska Manufactured Housing Association. We are an association first formed in 1950, a statewide organization of manufactured home community owners and managers with members here in Juneau, even Thunder Mountain and Churchill.
Does that include... I'll say the non-popular word. Does that include trailers, which I know is not politically correct anymore?
Yes, manufactured homes.
Hey.
Yeah, right. and but mostly the owners of the communities that they reside in.
Thank you.
Yes. I'd like to state my support for this bill, HB 273. Obviously, in this day and age, the fiscal note fits with the times. And... briefly, I do have a 9:30, so I'm going to have to leave here pretty quick. The one thing that we did come up with one, though, is that there were members that were concerned about the phrase certain manufactured homes, which we've worked with DMV, and I think we've resolved that. There's an amendment coming, and you know, all I can do at this point is to offer no opposition and support and ask that the committee move the bill.
Okay, any questions to Mr. Mayor? Vice Chair Keller.
I just want to confirm it's M-A-I-R?
M-A-I-E-R.
I-E-R. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Mayor? Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for your time, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for coming forward. Reverend Vodka had her hand up like this, and I didn't know what it was.
Thank you.
Is there any other questions for the presenters at this time on this bill? Okay. With that, we're going to hold this bill until the next appropriate time to hear it, which we hope will not be too long. And so we're going to keep public testimony open until the next hearing. And our next committee hearing, the schedule has not yet been finalized on the next hearing, so just keep tuned. Is there any other business to come before the committee this morning? If not, I'd like to thank you and wish you all a good weekend. We are adjourned.